Live from the historic parsonage of the 19th century gospel minister George Norcross in downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, it's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now, here's your host, Chris Arnzen.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth, who are listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnzen, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Wednesday on this 28th day of October 2020. And I'd appreciate prayer today. Today is a bittersweet day for me because today happens to be the birthday of my dear, precious late wife, Julie, celebrating her birthday in eternity with Christ. And of course, I rejoice that she is with Christ for eternity, but it is still a very sad day for me nonetheless, so please keep me in your prayers. Today is another reason for rejoicing in the Lord, because we have another tribute during our five-day tribute to the late Dr. Greg L. Bahnsen, a world-renowned theologian, scholar, philosopher, apologist and debater. And Dr. Greg L. Bahnsen has been the inspiration to countless millions of Christians, I'm sure, globally, and especially in the realm of apologetics. And today is, as I said, day number three of our five-day tribute. And we have some special guests to pay tribute to Dr. Bahnsen. The first guest I will introduce to you now is a dear friend that I've known for quite a long time now, and he has been interviewed on this program many times. In fact, if you listen to this program regularly, you will know that Dr. Jeffrey C. Waddington, is currently in the midst of a series on Romans on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, and I think Jeff is, while he's on the phone with us, he must be washing dishes or cleaning out his study because there's a lot of racket going on in the background. But it's great to have you back on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Author, scholar, Jonathan Edwards expert, Dr. Jeffrey C. Waddington, who is also pastor of Faith Orthodox Presbyterian Church in Fawn Grove, Pennsylvania. It's great to have you back.
It's good to be here, brother. I apologize. I think the noise is probably in the phone because it's quiet here in my study.
That's weird because every time you're on, you can hear footsteps, you can hear clatter. I don't know what's going on, but
there may be angels walking around or something on here,
or spirits from the other realm. And it's great to have you with us. And we have, for the very first time, joining us on this program today, Dr. Lane Tipton. I'm so glad that we could have Dr. Tipton on today. He is the pastor at Trinity Orthodox Presbyterian Church in Easton, Pennsylvania, and a fellow of Systematic and Biblical Theology for Reformed Forum. He's the author of many articles and the co-editor of Revelation and Reason, New Essays in Reformed Apologetics, and Resurrection and Eschatology, Theology in Service of the Church, Essays in Honor of Richard B. Gaffin, Jr. And it's my honor and privilege to welcome you for the very first time ever to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Dr. Lane Tipton.
Chris, it's wonderful to be here. So thankful for the opportunity, and will be a really good discussion, I'm sure. So thank you so much.
Well, although our topic today is a tribute to the late Dr. Greg L. Bahnsen, who was born in 1948 and went home to be with the Lord for eternity in 1995, and specifically to pay tribute to him, our theme will be defending the faith biblically. But before we do that, Lane, we have a tradition here on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio with first-time guests. Jeff Waddington has already done this for us when he was on for the first time. So if you could provide for us a summary of your salvation testimony.
Oh, yeah. I was raised in a home where my mother was a Christian and my father was not. In fact, the antithesis was as sharp as you could conceive it, because my mother was a wonderfully devoted, faithful Christian who took us to church regularly, and my father was not only absent from church, but would do everything he could do to keep me from darkening the doors. I also had wonderful Christian grandparents on my mother's side, but no one on my father's side was converted to my knowledge. And so I was raised in a Southern Baptist church. My mother would take us to church regularly. When I would visit my grandparents in the summer, I would go to church with them. And I heard the gospel regularly. I wasn't catechized. It wasn't Reformed theology, per se. But I heard the gospel. And so from about the time I was 13 until the time I was 19, I wasn't required to go to church. My mom gave me the freedom to either go or not go. And right after my freshman year of college, I played football out of high school at Eastern New Mexico State University. And when I came home that summer, I picked up a Bible just because I was wanting to go into law. I was in a pre-law program at Eastern, and I thought, you know, it would probably be a good idea to know Judeo-Christian law. So I picked up my Bible with really no interest in being converted at all, and read Matthew 23, where Jesus condemns the Pharisees for being whitewashed tombs, clean on the outside, but on the inside full of dead men's bones. And I became quite convicted that that was a very apt description of me. And I recognized that I was guilty before God and a sinner, was under conviction. And a few days later, I turned on the television on a Sunday morning, and a televangelist, I might tell you who he is, but a televangelist was preaching a sermon, and it happened to be on Leviticus 16, and he spoke of the scapegoat, the high priest laying his hands on its head, confessing Israel's sin over it, being led outside the camp to bear away vicariously the sin and guilt of Israel. And he said, that is a type of Christ. And when he said that, I instantly saw my Savior and my Lord bearing away my sin through that typico-symbolic revelation in the Old Testament, fell, as it were, on my knees, just bowed before the Lord, repented of my sin, asked the Lord to forgive me for my sin, trusted in Jesus Christ, and then went into the other room where my mother was and told her, and she just broke down in tears of joy. She'd been praying for me for years.
Praise God.
Had been converted. Yeah, so it was just a wonderful thing. And I guess I'll tell you who the televangelist was, because it was in 1987, and 6 months later something quite noteworthy happened. It was Jimmy Swaggart, of all people.
Well, it goes to show you that God is sovereign over all, and he even uses very, what's the best way to put this, very flawed humans, and even lost humans. I don't know if Jimmy Swaggart is lost or not for certain, but he even uses lost persons who are proclaiming the truth for one reason or another to bring him, to bring his elect to himself and save them. And I'm not saying, please don't misunderstand me, I'm not saying Billy Graham is lost. But I have a very hard time, not with his theology now, since he's in heaven, but when he became a global celebrity, I had a very serious problem with his crusade practices and his ecumenism, even more than that. Ecumenism with not only Roman Catholics, but even people who reject Christ as Savior. And I know quite a number of people who came to Christ through the preaching and evangelism of Billy Graham, and a lot of people came to Christ through reading the late great Planet Earth, even though I entirely dismiss that book and its author as being trustworthy. But you never know what the Lord is going to use.
Amen. As I've said before, the Lord struck a very straight blow with a crooked stick, and I am so thankful. So thankful.
Well, praise God. And we are thankful as well, because we have been blessed in the body of Christ to have you amongst us as an ambassador for Christ, and the gifts that you bring to the table have been a blessing to innumerable Christians and the lost as well. So we thank you for your contribution to the body of Christ. And today we are going to be not only paying tribute to the late Dr. Greg L. Bahnsen, but we're also going to be promoting the Bahnsen Project. Let me give you all the website of the Bahnsen Project. It is bahnsenproject.com, B-A-H-N-S-E-N, project.com. And one thing we've got to do, Lane and Jeff, we've got to get on the case of the webmaster, because to my knowledge, unless I'm just doing something wrong, there is no page that actually gives a thorough biography, a bio sketch of Greg Bahnsen on the web, on the website. There's a big photograph of him, but we'll reach that point later on. But Dr. Lane Tipton, since you've have not been on this program before today, why don't you let our listeners know how you came to discover Dr. Greg L. Bahnsen and his teaching, and what kind of an impact it had on you personally?
Well, Chris, I'll do my best to keep this as terse as possible, and then we can expand as we see fit. But I was converted, like I said, in 1987, and David Brack, who soon became a pastor in Amarillo, Texas, in the OPC, he gave me a lot of really good Reformed literature, among which were some of the books of Van Til, and turned me to Westminster Discount Book Service with Mr. Lee, Scarsdale, New York, and I bought a lot of Bahnsen's materials. And about a year later, I joined Covenant Orthodox Presbyterian Church in Abilene, Texas, and I was reading Van Til and could not get enough of it. And a pastor named Neil Lodge, who just went to glory recently, and we celebrated, by the way, the 50th anniversary of Covenant OPC just this past weekend, but he told me that among interpreters of Van Til, he thought Bahnsen was unparalleled. And he let me know of a Southern California Center for Christian Studies. You were able to get in contact with Bahnsen and begin to learn from him and take classes. And so I began to listen to Bahnsen's lectures on Van Til, some of his debates with Gordon Stein and others. And I also read his Theonomy and Christian Ethics and a couple of other books, and found him to be, I think, the most insightful, consistently most insightful interpreter of Van Til, and just began taking courses at the Southern California Center for Christian Studies in the late 80s into the early 90s, and found him to be of immense value in understanding the worldview contours of Van Til's apologetic, the nature of the transcendental argument for the existence of God, and the thoroughgoing antithesis between belief and unbelief, and also found him to be of enormous help in helping me get a grasp on the history of Western philosophy and some of the main issues that you face in Western philosophical thought. And so he was just of immense help in giving me an entree into Van Til through a number of lectures and classes that he was offering at the time. Very, very useful.
Well, Dr. Jeff Waddington, if you could also let our listeners know how you first became aware of Dr. Greg Bahnsen's life, legacy, and teaching, and how it has specifically impacted your own life and ministry.
Oh, well, thank you for asking. Unlike my good friend and brother Lane, I did not know Dr. Bahnsen personally. I came into the Reformed community in 1995, and in fact, a friend of mine who Lane knows shared with me the newsletter that the Southern California Center for Christian Studies circulated at the time. And he had found out that Dr. Bahnsen had died, I believe, on the operating table or in the hospital related to heart surgery. So we lost a great giant of the faith, and it was at that point that because he had passed away, and I was familiar, I was aware of who he was and his reputation in the broader evangelical community, and so I started. My pastor lent me several of the cassette tape series. One that stands out was, I think, Work Apologetics for the Workplace. I think that's what it was called. It was a relatively short series of lectures, and you could boil down the secret of apologetics asking the why question, right? Why do you think this? Why do you think that? And then he had a series also on Pentecost, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, which I thought was really good. I would say to Lane, and maybe Lane's familiar with this, but it's a thoroughly Gaffinian presentation. And then, of course, a series on the history of Western philosophy is just outstanding. Pretty almost everything that Dr. Bahnsen did was top notch. The debate, which Lane has already made reference to, with Gordon Stein, and most of these things I got into once I came to Westminster Seminary in 1997, and then of course reading various books that he had authored. Probably the most significant in terms from my perspective is his big, what we could like to call his big Van Til book. That is Van Til's Apologetics, Readings and Analysis. That book, thankfully, by the way, is back in print. P&R Publishing publishes it. Had gone out of print.
Yes, in fact, we have been giving a copy a day away to listeners who have questions.
Excellent. Yeah, so it's back in print. It's an excellent resource. It takes primary readings along with Dr. Bahnsen's introduction and the explanatory footnote when you come across the reference to some thinker from the past who is not well known. Dr. Bahnsen will give a brief biographical sketch and introduce a summary of their teaching, and so that's really helpful. But I just have to say, if you listen to the Bahnsen Stein debate, that is probably the epitome of his approach to defending the faith, and it's one of those debates where the opponent of a Christian is totally baffled by the way that Bahnsen approached to the discussion of God's existence, ethics, laws of logic, etc. very fascinating Bonson was very much the premier scholar of Van Til and perpetuator of Van Til's approach to apologetics. And he was a blessing. See, the most important thing I think we want to stress, especially as we think about the Bonson Project and the fact that almost, I think it is somewhere between 1,800 and 2,000 audio files are now being brought from behind a paywall to be free. And Chris, you didn't mention this, but I believe the files will eventually be accessible through Sermon Audio. I'm sure there'll be links at the Bonson Project page, but it's Sermon Audio that will be the place where those things are available, at least initially. We also hope to harvest the ongoing benefits of these things. In other words, to write articles and perhaps even publish books and host conferences on the work of Dr. Bonson, which of course is an extension of the work of Dr. Van Til. And at the end of the day, and I think Lane would agree with me, none of that makes any difference if the approach of presuppositional apologetics is not, in fact, a biblical approach. I would argue that it is. It is not only the biblical approach, it is the most consistent with a Reformed confessional, and I would go even further to say redemptive historical approach to the understanding of God's Word.
Well, today we are specifically going to be addressing the theme, as I mentioned before, under the umbrella theme of a tribute to the late Dr. Greg L. Bonson, day number 3. We are going to be specifically addressing defending the faith biblically, which is something Dr. Bonson was most known to champion. Would you agree, and we'll have Dr. Tipton chime in right now, would you agree that there is quite a lot of significance in this theme, defending the faith biblically, because although it might not have caught the attention of your average evangelical who is not paying attention, but it seems to me that many of the most prolific authors, best-selling authors especially, most well-known and most popular televangelists, and basically the most popular and beloved celebrities, if you will, within modern evangelicalism, seek to defend the faith without using the Bible as their emphasis or their source. They tend to appeal to emotion and many other things that are not rooted in Scripture. And do you agree with what I just said, Dr. Tipton?
Yes, I do. You definitely find the trend in evangelical apologetical methods. You find, I would call it an eclectic approach, seeking to use perhaps certain features of natural theological reasoning, certain appeals to evidence, certain appeals to emotion that are not rooted in the revelation of God as he's made himself known in the Scriptures, not rooted in the self-communication of God, the self-revelation of God in nature and history and conscience. And sadly, there's no organic relationship between the apologetical method and the theology that you're seeking to defend. And so that rupture, that disjunction between theology and apologetics, that's something that Cornelius Van Til sought to remedy by calling our attention to the fact that we are first and foremost as Christians defending the triune God as he has revealed himself in what Van Til called one covenantal scheme, one grand covenantal scheme of revelation in nature and in Scripture, in Word and indeed. And Bahnsen, as an interpreter of Van Til, picked up on that, and in his Van Til's reading, the Van Til reader analysis and reflection on that, the book you're giving away, Bahnsen really does turn attention almost immediately to the concern that we defend the Christian faith in terms of the Christian faith, not borrowing from eclectic, foreign, alien sources per se, but engaging them in terms of the presuppositional substructures that are rooted in God's revelation and summarized in the teaching of Scripture, set forth in Scripture. And so, yes, Van Til was quite a remedy on that point, and Bahnsen, in the 20th century, I think, was the most thoroughgoing expounder of that call to return to the Scriptures as the source and norm, the ultimate authority in terms of which we defend the faith.
And Dr. Jeff Waddington, what do you think drives Christians to skip over the Bible in order to make their presentations and declarations and sermons and evangelism efforts to the lost? What is it that compels them? And they're supposed to be in love with the Bible. They're supposed to be basing their lives on the Bible. They have allegedly come to faith themselves through the hearing of preaching of the Bible or the reading of the Bible. Why do you think there's such a compelling desire that draws many Christians to skip it when trying to explain and declare the faith to the lost?
Well, that's a big question and an excellent question. And before I answer that, I did want to note that Dr. Bahnsen wrote a book that actually provides the biblical foundation for presuppositional apologetics, and that is called Always Ready. I believe it's available on Amazon, most other outlets. Always Ready. It is, in my opinion, the best book if you're looking for the scriptural basis for how you defend the faith. To answer your question, why is the Bible often or usually bypassed? That could vary from person to person, but I would imagine a couple of things. One would be that a person either did not come to faith in Christ through an explicit reliance upon the Word of God, or, you know, or the Holy Spirit speaking through the Word of God, to be more particular, or they were not aware of it, and so they haven't thought through the issues. A second possibility is that they don't think you can do apologetics relying upon the Bible, because it's the Bible that has to be defended. It's the Word of God that has to be demonstrated to be a reliable historical document, et cetera, things like that.
I remember when I worked for Salem Media, it is the largest Christian radio network in the world. There was a talk show host who will remain nameless, and one thing that he insisted upon that not only he or anybody who happened to fill in as a guest host if he was on vacation or sick or something, and also what he insisted upon from the listeners, is when they called in, it was a live call-in show, when they called in to give a comment or to ask a question, they were not to quote Scripture. And this host's moronic reasoning for that, and that's moronic for a Christian, and a professing evangelical Christian, to make such a requirement, in my opinion, was that if we start quoting the Bible all the time, the world will think we are too stupid to put things into our own words. I mean, that to me, isn't that for a Christian to even come up with that concept? Wouldn't you say that's pretty horrific?
I was
astonishing.
Yeah, I mean, I would say that the other answer to your question, Chris, is because of the history of apologetics. Often apologetics has been done in a purely rationalistic or neutral philosophical way. In order to provide a foundation upon which the Word of God rests, instead of the Word of God itself being the foundation upon which we stand. It's a common, you know, I don't honestly know off the top of my head the percentage of folk who embrace one way of defending the faith as over against another, but Elaine and I both would really stress that the biblical way of doing it is the method that Dr. Van Til formulated, and that Dr. Bonson instantiated in his own life and ministry, and continues to do through the influence of the recordings of lectures and the PDFs of articles, et cetera, that will soon be available for free.
It sounded like, Dr. Tipton, you wanted to chime in on what I had said as well.
Well, I was going to ask if that's okay. I don't want to just jump in.
In fact, you know something? I just looked at the clock, so we're going to have you chime in when we come back from our first station break.
Wonderful.
And if anybody would like to join us on the air, actually, I was going to invite you to join us with questions, but we already have enough questions that were left over from yesterday that could not be read on the air. We didn't have time to read them on the air yesterday. So those folks are going to be blessed because we're going to read your question for our guests today because they continue to be very relevant since we are in day number 3 of our tribute to the late Dr. Greg L. Bonson. So I hope that you continue to enjoy this program. Don't go away. We're going to be right back with Dr. Lane Tipton and Dr. Jeffrey C. Waddington right after these messages from our sponsors.
Here's what Gary DeMar, president of American Vision, had to say about Iron Sharpens Iron Radio recently.
Good to be back, Chris. I always enjoy our time. You, I have to say, you're one of the better interviewers out there, and I've been doing this for more than 30 years.
Wow, that's some compliment. How much do I owe you for that?
you don't have to owe me anything, so we're in good shape.
I'm glad you said it on the air, so I don't have to brag about myself.
Tell your friends and loved ones about Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, airing live Monday through Friday, 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time at IronSharpensIronRadio.com.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, Professor of Apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I've been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio is sponsored by Harvey Cedars, a year-round Bible conference and retreat center nestled on the Jersey Shore. Harvey Cedars offers a wide range of accommodations to suit groups up to 400. For generations, Christians have enjoyed gathering and growing at Harvey Cedars. Each year, thousands of high school and college students come and learn more about God's Word. An additional 9,000 come annually to Harvey Cedars as families, couples, singles, men, women, pastors, seniors, and missionaries. 90 miles from New York City, 70 miles from Philly, and 95 miles from Wilmington, and easily accessible, scores of notable Christian groups frequently plan conferences at Harvey Cedars, like the Navigators, InterVarsity Christian Fellowship, Campus Crusade, and the Alliance of Confessing Evangelicals. Find Harvey Cedars on Facebook or at hcbible.org, hcbible.org. Call 609-494-5689, 609-494-5689. Harvey Cedars, where Christ finds people and changes lives.
Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasso wishing you all the richest blessings of our sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005. The publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President and Professor of Systematic and Homiletical Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary in Taylor, South Carolina. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck White at the First Trinity Lutheran Church in Tonawanda, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Anthony Mathenia of Christ Church in Radford, Virginia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jesse Miller of Damascus Road Christian Church in Gardnerville, Nevada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Bruce Bennett of Word of Truth Church in Farmingville, Long Island, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rodney Brown of Metro Bible Church in Southlake, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jim Harrison of Red Mills Baptist Church in Mayapack Falls, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nestle Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com.
Welcome back. This is Chris Arnzen and your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, and today is day number 3 of our tribute to the late Dr. Greg L. Bonson and our promotion of the Bonson Project. And our guests today are Dr. Lane Tipton and Dr. Jeffrey C. Waddington. And before you comment, Dr. Tipton, as you were just about to do before the break, I'd like you to explain to our listeners what the Reformed Forum is. I forgot to do that earlier, and because I know that you and Dr. Waddington are both a part of that wonderful ministry.
Reformed Forum is, you can go to reformedforum.org and you can check out the website. We have numerous podcasts. We're developing a Reformed Academy and some classes, especially right now, devoted to the theology and apologetics of Cornelius Van Til. A host of resources are there. I don't really do a good job at advertising it. I simply try to serve and engage in the teaching and the podcast that we do. Jeff might want to add, I think he's a little better at making it known than I am, but it's just a wonderful resource. Camden Busey and Jim Cassidy, Glenn Clary, Jeff Waddington, and a number of others serve that ministry, and it's just a joy to serve alongside those brothers.
Well, Dr. Waddington?
Sure. Lane did a pretty good job. We are obviously a Reformed Christian, we call it a Christian education theological ministry that does audio, video, and text-based articles and things like that. So it's the centerpiece podcast has been for 12 years now, Christ the Center, which with a new episode dropping every Friday. Don't believe we've missed a Friday in those 12 years. Could be wrong.
Don't think so.
Yeah, and then there are other and have been other podcasts that have grown out of that. Proclaiming Christ, which is centered on the preaching ministry. There has been in the past the East of Eden, the biblical and systematic theology of Jonathan Edwards. There is now a really good popular podcast called Theology Simple Profound, yeah, otherwise known as the Rob and Bob Show, because it's Rob McKenzie and Bob Tarullo. Bob is the pastor of Westminster OPC out in the Chicago area, and Rob is one of his ruling elders, and they have a fine show so there are various resources that are available, and as Lane has already mentioned, the newest venture is the Reformed Academy, where we're producing teaching series in video format. Lane has done an 8-part series on the theology of Van Til. He's also done a series on the history of heaven. And we also have a series by Jim Cassidy on the first 38 questions of the Westminster Shorter Catechism. Camden Busey, who is the executive director of the Reform Forum, has done a series on an introduction to covenant theology. So, and we'll be adding new courses as we go along. So that's something that we're excited about. And of course, we have the other ongoing podcasts as well. That's a pretty we now have, for instance, the Reformed Academy, the last I heard, had something like 1,900 students from representing 50 countries around the world.
So wow.
It's, and the I forget what the latest monthly download figure is, but the last I heard it was something like 33,000 downloads a month. So it's a pretty busy place.
And it's reformedforum.org. Great. Well, I hope that you folks get blessed by that and make use of it. I know that at least one of my pastors, possibly both, I just know that in the conversation that one of them, John Miller, at Grace Baptist Church in Carlisle, Pennsylvania, a Reformed Baptist congregation, he loves the Reformed Forum. So thank you for blessing the body of Christ. So, Dr. Tipton, you were going to respond to my comment that a talk show host on a major Christian network that I worked for, this was a syndicated host that was on nationwide, had a rule where neither he nor a fill-in guest host nor the listeners could quote scripture when bringing up an issue, asking a question, or giving a comment, because he thought that that made Christians look stupid to the world, because the non-believer would think that we were not intelligent enough to formulate things in our own words. But if you could comment whatever you were going to say before the break.
Oh, sure, and I'll be brief. It's the question about the Word of God. The Scripture is the Word of God. Rests on the question of its character. The identity of the Word of God rests upon its character. And what the Word of God is something breathed out by the Spirit of God and is a word revelation that interprets the deed revelation from creation, fall, redemption, all the way to its climactic expression in Christ into the consummation. And so it's quite a shame to treat the scriptures in that way, as though the scriptures are somehow a problem, an impediment, something we have to get beyond in order to sound more intelligent, because the entire point about appealing to the scriptures is that what you think about the scriptures is going to depend on what you think about their nature, and what you think about the nature of the scriptures of the Old and New Testament is organically related to the nature of the God who speaks by that scripture and interprets the sum total of the deed revelation from creation to consummation. And so it's just a real tragedy for the scriptures to be treated that way, because in treating the scriptures that way, by extension, you treat God in that same way. And that's just brings me great sorrow to hear someone doing that sort of thing.
And going back to our major theme, which under the umbrella of paying tribute to Dr. Bahnsen is defending the faith biblically, first of all, we'll go back to Dr. Waddington. When you are defending the faith biblically to a lost person. Another reason, and I don't think it's a good reason, but another reason that some of these more popular Christian authors and personalities, TV evangelists and so on, they skip the Bible when defending the faith, or they think they're defending the faith, is because you're going to be speaking gobbledygook to the lost person. Why are you quoting the Bible from them when they don't know the Bible? They don't have any respect for the Bible. They could care less about the Bible. They're either indifferent to it or hostile to it, so why even bother quoting it? But if you could pick up from there.
Sure. That operates on a faulty assumption that the Word of God is dependent upon the intellectual capacities of the people that you're talking to. Now, of course, in one sense, that's exactly true, that the Word of God comes to us who are sinful, fallen human beings. However, in the typical situation, we are created in the image of God, Chris, and we live in the world that was created by God, and we live in the world that is continuing to exist under the divine providence and governorship of God. And he has revealed himself in both nature, including our own human nature, and he has revealed himself in Scripture. Those two modes of revelation are actually one revelation in two modes, not two different kinds of revelation. And they're meant to work together, be mutually reinforcing. The assumption of the folk as you described it is that the Word of God cannot get through. In other words, remember that the Holy Spirit who inspired the human authors to write the Word of God, exactly what God wanted to be said, that same Holy Spirit speaks now through the Word, and the Word of God is effective whether a person is familiar with the whole storyline or not. Not everyone that we come into contact with and have an apologetic encounter with is going to know the Word of God. That's already granted, right, in the question that you asked. But it's not dependent upon that. Now, neither Lane nor I would argue that it's good for people to be ignorant of subject matter and content and storyline of the Bible. But it's another thing to argue that the Word of God cannot be effective until someone has everything downloaded into their brain. That's just not true. It's baloney. That's nonsense. The Word of God is the effectiveness of the Word of God is always 100%.
We're going to our midway break right now, and it's the longer than normal break, folks, so please be patient with us. We have to do a longer than normal break because Grace Life Radio, 90.1 FM in Lake City, Florida, is required by the FCC to have a longer break in the middle of our show because they have to air public service announcements and other things local to Lake City, Florida. And therefore, while they do that, we air our globally heard commercials. So please use the best, make best use, I should say, of this time. And please write down as much of the information as you possibly can provided by our advertisers so that you can more frequently and more successfully patronize our advertisers, which will mean we will remain on the air for a longer future because our advertisers will continue to support us financially, which we need to survive. Always remember, folks, we need these ads in order to remain on the air. So try to make our advertisers happy. Also use this time to send in a question to our guests, Dr. Lane Tipton and Dr. Jeffrey C. Waddington, on the late Dr. Greg L. Bonson, and also on our sub-theme, defending the Bible biblically. So don't go away. We'll be right back after these messages from our sponsors. your business shut down during the COVID-19 pandemic, depriving you of earning any money, causing you to default on your rent as you try to survive without income? Maybe you've had to close your doors for good. The good news, you thought, was that you purchased business interruption insurance as a part of your business liability policy with a major insurance company who told you they are a good neighbor or that you would be in good hands. You filed a claim only to be told that it was denied due to the pandemic exclusion clause. The pandemic exclusion? Since 2006, most insurance companies added this clause to enable them to deny your income loss claims in the event of a worldwide pandemic. Do not give up. No matter what state you live in, call Buttafuoco & Associates now at 1-800-669-4878. Buttafuoco & Associates is a part of a large multi-district litigation, and they are working with lead counsel to bring what they believe will be a successful lawsuit for these claims. It is the best way for you to proceed. There's absolutely no risk to you. You do not have to pay them out of pocket, and there is no fee unless you recover on your claim. You need to call 1-800-669-4878 right now. Trust the law firm where the attorneys at one of the largest business firms on Long Island, New York, are sending their own clients for representation during this lawsuit, Buttafuoco & Associates, here to help business owners rebuild their lives in the wake of the pandemic. Call 1-800-669-4878.
Today at thousands of community centers, high schools, middle schools, juvenile institutions, coffee shops, and local hangouts, Long Island Youth for Christ, staff and volunteers meet with young people who need Jesus. We are rural and urban, and we are always about the message of Jesus. Our mission is to have a noticeable spiritual impact on Long Island, New York, by engaging young people in the lifelong journey of following Christ. Long Island Youth for Christ has been a stalwart bedrock ministry since 1959. We have a world-class staff and a proven track record of bringing consistent love and encouragement to youths in need all over the country and around the world. Help honor our history by becoming a part of our future. Volunteer, donate, pray, or all of the above. For details, call Long Island Youth for Christ at 631-385-8333. That's 631-385-8333. Or visit liyfc.org. That's liyfc.org.
As host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, I frequently get requests from listeners for church recommendations. A church I've been strongly recommending as far back as the 1980s is Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey, pastored by Alan Dunn. Grace Covenant Baptist Church believes it's God's prerogative to determine how he shall be worshipped and how he shall be represented in the world. They believe churches need to turn to the Bible to discover what to include in worship and how to worship God in spirit and truth. Grace Covenant Baptist Church endeavors to maintain a God-centered focus, reading, preaching, and hearing the Word of God. Singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, baptism, and communion are the scriptural elements of their corporate worship, performed with faith, joy, and sobriety. Discover more about Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey at gcbcnj.squarespace.com. That's gcbcnj.squarespace.com. Or call them at 908-996-7654. That's 908-996-7654. Tell Pastor Dunn that you heard about Grace Covenant Baptist Church on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Hi,
this is John Sampson, pastor of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, taking a moment of your day to talk about Chris Arnzen and the Iron Sharpens Iron podcast. I consider Chris a true friend and a man of high integrity. He's a skilled interviewer who's not afraid to ask the big, penetrating questions while always defending the key doctrines of the Christian faith. I've always been happy to point people to this podcast, knowing it's one of the very few safe places on the internet where folk won't be led astray. I believe this podcast needs to be heard far and wide. This is a day of great spiritual compromise, and yet God has raised Chris up for just such a time. And knowing this, it's up to us as members of the body of Christ to stand with such a ministry in prayer and in finances. I'm pleased to do so and would like to ask you to prayerfully consider joining me in supporting Iron Sharpens Iron financially. Would you consider sending either a one-time gift or even becoming a regular monthly partner with this ministry? I know it would be a huge encouragement to Chris if you would. All the details can be found at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can click support. That's ironsharpensironradio.com.
We are excited to announce another new member of the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio advertising family, Banu Gotti, owner of three New York pharmacies, Lee's Drugs of Floral Park, Long Beach Chemists, and Prescription Center of Long Island in Hempstead. Banu Gotti earned a doctorate in pharmacy degree and is very knowledgeable on the current coronavirus pandemic. Please contact Dr. Gotti so he and his expert staff can give you proper guidance amid all the contradictory confusion we are all hearing in the media. To find the pharmacy nearest you, call 516-354-2000. That's 516-354-2000. Or order online at leesdrugsrx.com. That's L-E-E-S, drugsrx.com. Don't forget to ask about their discount generic drug program.
Greetings in the matchless name of our Lord Jesus Christ. My name is Banu Gotti. I'm a pharmacist in New York, which is the epicenter of the latest crisis the world is going through. In Psalm 139, verse 14, the psalmist offers praise to the Lord like this: I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made, and wondrous are your works that my soul knows very well. He saw God's goodness and mercy, kindness, and the beauty in what God has designed, and he has erupted into praise. In any crisis or problem, brothers and sisters, our only fallback position is to trust God's design. And once we do, there is nothing for us to do but to erupt in praise to him. When the whole world is searching for a solution, God, in his infinite mercy, has given us what we need to address this illness, which can be very serious. Such is the beauty of his design. Knowing that design, how can we not erupt in praise to our great God like the psalmist did? May God bless you and give all of us wisdom to see greater things in his design. Thank you.
Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasso wishing you all the richest blessings of our Sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joe Moorcraft, pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church in Cumming, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Anthony Uvino, founder of TheReformRookie.com and co-founder of New York Apologetics, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Tim Bushong of Syracuse Baptist Church in Syracuse, Indiana, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Eli Ayala, founder of Revealed Apologetics and staff member with the Historical Bible Society, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Josh Miller of Grace Bible Fellowship Church in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Joe Bianchi, president of Calvary Press Publishing in Greenville, South Carolina, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jake Korn of Switzerland Community Church in Switzerland, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to NASBible.com. That's NASBible.com to place your order.
Lynbrook Baptist Church on 225 Earl Avenue in Lynbrook, Long Island, is teaching God's timeless truths in the 21st century.
Our church is far more than a Sunday worship service.
It's a place of learning where the scriptures are studied and the preaching of the gospel is clear and relevant.
It's like a gym where one can exercise their faith through community involvement.
It's like a hospital for wounded souls where one can find compassionate people and healing.
We're a diverse family of all ages,
enthusiastically serving our Lord Jesus Christ
in fellowship, play, and together.
Hi, I'm Pastor Bob Waldeman, and I invite you to come and join us here at Lynbrook Baptist Church and see all that a church can be.
Call Lynbrook Baptist at 516-599-9402. That's 516-599-9402, or visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's lynbrookbaptist.org.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And don't forget, folks, solid-ground-books.com is a vital sponsor of this program. We could not exist without their financial support. So please try to keep them happy by going to their website as frequently as you can and making as many purchases as you can at solid-ground-books.com. We would likely not exist without the financial support of Solid Ground Christian Books, barring a miracle of God, of course. And you're not only going to be doing them a favor by purchasing books from them, and you're not only going to be doing us a favor by keeping our advertiser happy so that we can remain on the air, you're going to be doing yourself an enormous favor and anyone for whom you purchase gifts from solid-ground-books.com, because they are an absolutely phenomenal, extraordinary publisher, offering the finest, the very finest in Christian literature from the past and the present. So go to solid-ground-books.com and always tell them that you heard about them from Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. And in fact, I just want to let you know that they are offering a 60% discount on a book that you should get a hold of. This is a book that includes the contribution of Dr. Greg L. Bonson and others, called The Risen Christ Conquers Mars Hill, Classic Discourses on Paul's Ministry in Athens. So if you go to solid-ground-books.com and you type in Bonson in the search engine, B-A-H-N-S-E-N, or if you want to type in The Risen Christ, or The Risen Christ Conquers Mars Hill, to be more specific about the title, you will get that book pop up, and it's being offered for 60% off. So today would be a great day to purchase that book and mention Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Folks, if you love this show and you don't want it to disappear, I urge you to please go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You could donate instantly with a debit or credit card by doing that. And if you prefer snail mail, you can mail in a check to the address that appears on the screen at ironsharpensironradio.com when you click support. If you'd like to advertise with us, send me an email put in the subject line advertising. And as long as whatever it is you're promoting is compatible with what we believe, we would love to help you launch an ad campaign, because we are in urgent need of your financial support through advertising as well. Let me remind you of a few things. Please never siphon money away from your regular giving that you're accustomed to your own local church where you are a member, in order to give to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. In other words, don't punish your church financially by blessing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Please never do that. And if you are really struggling to survive and make ends meet, please don't put your family in financial jeopardy by giving to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio either. Those two things are commands of God in the scriptures: providing for your church and family. Providing for Iron Sharpens Iron Radio is obviously not a command of God in scripture, but if you do love the show and you have extra money above and beyond your ability to obey those two commands, then please, I'm urging you, please, we need your help. Go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. We have been hurt really badly financially because of the hysteria associated with the coronavirus pandemic, and businesses that supported us and individuals that supported us, many have had to cut back or cut out funding Iron Sharpens Iron Radio because they themselves are hurting. So please, if you are in a position to do so financially, please help us if you love the show. I'm urging you, please go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. Also, folks, if you are not a member of a local Bible-believing church, a biblically faithful, solid church, no matter where you live on the planet Earth, I may be able to help you find a church near you that is faithful to the scriptures. I've already helped many people all over the globe find churches that they didn't even know existed, sometimes right around the corner from where they lived, and I may be able to help you. I have extensive lists of churches, very solid churches, all over the planet Earth. So please, send me an email if you're in that category of not having a good church home. Send me an email to chrisarnzen@gmail.com and put "I need a church" in the subject line. And we'll try to help you find a church as soon as possible. It's also the email address to send in a question to our guests, Dr. Lane Tipton and Dr. Jeffrey Waddington, on our tribute to the late Dr. Greg L. Bonson. This is day number 3 of a 5-day tribute, and we are specifically addressing defending the faith biblically. And Dr. Waddington, I had to cut you off mid-sentence, I believe. If you could pick up where you left off, I was discussing how some people, some professing Christians, avoid using the Bible when they evangelize or when they preach or when they write, because they think, well, my audience that I want to reach the most, the lost, could care less about the Bible or is totally ignorant of the Bible or hates the Bible, so why bother quoting from it excessively or extensively or even at all? I forget if it was Lane or Jeff, but whoever I cut off to go to the midway break, if you could pick up where we left off.
One thing I can add to what was already said, and that is the idea that the Word of God is not effective is against the teaching of the Word of God itself.
Or sufficient.
Well, Isaiah, I believe in Isaiah 55, that the Word of God, God says, speaking through Prophet Isaiah, that my Word goes forth and will achieve its purpose. Or I think the King James says, is not void. In other words, whenever the Word of God proceeds out into the world, it achieves its purpose. Now, its purpose may be either redemption or it may be judgment, but it achieves its purpose one way or the other. And a related note, and that is that one's theology obviously affects how one comes at this question, right? In other words, as a Reformed Christian, I don't believe that the effectiveness of an evangelistic or apologetic encounter, or that the Word of God's effectiveness is dependent upon my ability to explain, defend it, nor is it dependent upon receptiveness of individual. In other words, I do believe in what's typically referred to as the five points of Calvinism, which, of course, are not the only things that Calvinists believe. But I do believe in a grace that can overcome the obstacles of unbelief, right? God is not in a box. God is not hampered. He is not in handcuffs, as it were. He is not gagged. His word will achieve its purpose even in the most hostile environment, I believe. And so, with that in mind, I understand why someone would think that the Word of God would not get a hearing. And if it were up to the unbelieving individuals that we're trying to interact with, that would be true. But the fact of the matter is it's a God who is sovereign over all things, who has condescended to involve us in the process of sharing the gospel, defending the faith, commending the Lord Jesus Christ, answering sticks, etc. All of those things, like preaching of the word in worship on Sunday, is something that is backed by the power of the Holy Spirit, and therefore it can conquer and subdue all those who are unbelievers. Now, God in His sovereignty and providence chooses different people at different places and times to draw them to the Lord Jesus Christ. And it may be that we're the ones who are to plant the seed, or we are the ones who are to water. But as the Apostle Paul told the Corinthian church, it is God who gives the increase.
And, of course, we can't forget 2 Timothy chapter 3, 16. All Scripture is inspired of God, or by God, I should say. And inspired is more accurately translated God-breathed. All Scripture is God-breathed and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. So we can't forget that one as well.
Absolutely. A good observation, Chris. Again, using the scriptures as the foundation upon, you know, the way we go about interacting with unbelievers. Elaine, you may have something to add to that.
Well, just to bring it to Bunsen, in section 4 of Always Ready, he has a wonderful 5-chapter summary of the conditions necessary for apologetic success. And he talks about the way that the nature of unbelief is such, preaching is foolish. Why? Because those to whom the gospel comes are antithetically opposed to the gospel, because the natural man, Romans 8, 7 and 8, not only doesn't submit to God's law and doesn't please God, but cannot do so. And so Bunsen is very helpful in pointing out that in our apologetics, we are in the same position we are in evangelism. That is, we present the scriptures, which are just foolishness to the unbeliever, and the ultimate condition for the success of the apologetical encounter is identical to the condition for success in the preaching of the gospel, which is that the Spirit takes that gospel, makes it intrinsically relevant to the one who hears it by granting faith and repentance, turning the sinner away from sin and to Christ, uniting the sinner to Christ in effectual calling, enlightening the mind, renewing the whole man after the image of God, and making the person willing and able freely to embrace Jesus Christ as revealed in Scripture. And so Bunsen's very helpful in that manual you referenced earlier, Jeff, the Always Ready Directions for Defending the Faith, very helpful in addressing that specific issue. And I think our readers would be rewarded by looking into that section. Very useful.
Indeed. In several of Dr. Bunsen's publications are available through the Logos software program. So if you're using Logos and you do a lot of work in that program, in other words, you read on the computer or your tablet or phone, you can get several of these works through the Logos program. They would be integrated into your library. A good way to do that, or you can get them in hard copy, the old-fashioned way. If you like me and you like to have a book in your hands, you like to smell the paper and all that kind of stuff. So, and Dr. Bunsen had a clarity. I would say that he had the writing style and speaking style, clarity of speaking style, to rival B.B. Warfield and J. Gresham Machen. And if our listeners are familiar with those two theologians, you know that Bunsen is a clear communicator. He really was, and we can be thankful that though he has gone to be with the Lord, we have access to all of these lectures, and as well as the books and articles, and you can see that clarity. And of course, it's clarity based upon the gifts of God, both in terms of his natural gifts and in view of the supernatural endowment that he had as a minister of the Word of God and an effective communicator and apologist. Yeah, it's amazing.
Well, one thing that I know for certain, Dr. Jeffrey C. Waddington, is that I'm never loaning you a book again, because I'd rather not loan you a book knowing that your nostrils are being pressed against the pages, especially in this time of the COVID pandemic. But anyway.
Yeah, good point there.
All right. We had, as I said earlier, some questions that came in from listeners yesterday that we did not have time to read yesterday to our guests. But since we are basically on the same major theme of presuppositional apologetics, of paying tribute to Dr. Bunsen, these questions are still relevant. So I wanted to read at least a couple of them. First of all, we have Arnie in Perry County, Pennsylvania. And Arnie says, Do you think that because of the paranoia we who are Reformed typically tend to have about the charismatic movement and Pentecostalism and our desire never to be falsely accused or assumed that we are a part of that camp or those camps, that sometimes we underplay the miraculous, and that includes the declaration of the Bible itself. There is something uniquely miraculous about reading the Word of God and preaching the Word of God and evangelizing from the Word of God that is used by God Himself to bring about the miracle of regeneration in His elect who are lost. I'm not saying that these words from the Bible are like a magical spell or a cantation of sorts. I am just saying that it is obvious from the Scriptures that there is something supernatural and miraculous going on when souls are saved from hell and their sin when we read from the Bible itself. And if you could comment, perhaps we'll have Dr. Tipton start this time.
Oh, sure. I'm not certain about the reference to some sustained paranoia that certain Reformed might be experiencing. That could be the case. There could be some quarters where people are paranoid or have some concern that to talk about supernaturalism would commit one to some kind of charismatic theology. I would just tell the listener there's no reason for that to be the case. For instance, when B.B. Warfield sets forth Calvinism, he begins with a naturalistic view of Pelagianism, 4th century, Socinianism, 16th century, Modernism or Liberalism, 16th century, and he sets it categorically over against supernatural Christianity. And when he does that, it's supernaturalism, the idea that God saves sinners by sovereign grace, versus naturalism, that grace is wholly unnecessary for salvation. And then he begins to make distinctions between sacerdotalism, which is a Roman Catholic view. He shows its error. Protestantism or evangelicalism. I like Protestantism better as a term. And then within Protestantism, you have universalism and particularism. Universalism would be Arminianism and a few other views. And then particularism would be Calvinism. And the whole point, if you understand Warfield, is that the most consistently supernaturalistic expression of the Christian faith is Calvinism or Reformed theology. And so I think if you're not concerned about the quote unquote charismatic chaos, to pull a title from an old title from John MacArthur, and you think more historically, Calvinism is the most thoroughgoing and consistent expression of biblical supernaturalism. And so when Machen critiqued liberalism, his fundamental critique is that liberalism is a different religion precisely because it eschews at every point the thoroughgoing supernaturalism of the Scripture. I think the real issue with the charismatics, of course, isn't supernaturalism versus anti-supernaturalism, but precisely what gifts are designed to function only during the apostolic era, and what gifts are more perennial and continue throughout the interadventual age. So appreciate the direction of that question, and I think you can kind of turn it around and say that when it's most properly understood, Calvinism is the most consistent expression of biblical supernaturalism, according to the works of someone like Warfield.
Oh, yeah, I agree with you 100%, but I think the point that our listener, Arnie, was making is valid, because I have met and known and shared fellowship with men of God, not only pastors, but your average ordinary pew sitter who is Reformed, who in a strange, and they might not even be conscious of this, but a paranoia not only about the charismatic movement or appearing charismatic, but even appearing Arminian, that sometimes even actual texts of the Scripture are avoided. I'll give you an example. And of course, this, what I'm about to talk about, is a cage stage Calvinist example. But I can remember one of my pastors, at the conclusion of a sermon, quoted right from the Bible, "Choose this day whom you will serve," or whom you may serve. And after the service was over, a couple of the members of the church, who were fairly recent converts to the Reformed faith, they were furious that he said that. "What do you mean choose? We can't choose." You know, and on and on and on. And like, what do you, we're commanded to choose, but we are enabled to choose in a way that pleases God by the Holy Spirit. We cannot choose to please God before our regeneration, but we are commanded to. We're commanded to choose the right way every day, and we're commanded to be obedient to God and so on. Am I making sense here?
Go ahead, Lane. Sorry.
I'll just be real brief. Yeah, I was just saying that the question was, I think, it's in one way, if you're taking aberrant expressions of small segments of, you know, quote-unquote Reformed people who believe this, that's one thing. But what I'm saying is that the mainstream of Reformed theology would lead you directly in the direction you're going, Chris.
Amen.
Would check those views, which strangely wouldn't, as far as I can hear them, wouldn't really cohere with the best of Reformed theology. Jeff, go ahead. Didn't mean to cut in.
I think, and you've already said it, Chris, that these folk have to reckon with the fact that the scriptures call all men everywhere to repent. Now, we know that the only ones who are going to repent are those who have been chosen from before the foundations of the universe. So, I mean, we don't, and we're not Arminian when we call upon people to repent, right? We're biblical. The scriptures call upon us to do this. We don't assume that human beings by nature have the ability to do this. Right? It's an ability that is enabled by the working of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit enables us to respond to the preaching of the gospel by enlightening our minds and renewing our wills, as the Westminster Divines put it. That's a very supernatural activity. We're not afraid of the supernaturalness of the Christian faith. That is, in fact, what creates part of the antithesis that Dr. Van Til and Dr. Bonson were so concerned to stress. The fact that Christianity is a supernatural religion. None of us is a Christian. None of us are Christians by virtue of the normal operations of our human minds. We are Christians because the Holy Spirit enabled us to believe through the operations of the God-created mind and heart and will, but still overcoming the effects of the fall on our minds and hearts and will. It is, in fact, a very supernatural understanding of the Christian faith. What we eschew, that is, what we do not agree with, are some of the, wild or crazy or chaotic phenomena that often occur in a charismatic setting. The same kinds of things that apparently occurred in the First Great Awakening, things that are not essential to the Christian faith and are not essential to the supernatural aspects of the Christian faith.
Yeah, another way this is found, and by the way, I think, let me first say, from what you have both said, we who are Reformed really out-charismatic the charismatics and out-Pentecostal the Pentecostals when it comes to the necessity of the Holy Spirit and the miraculous, because we believe that our own wills can't bring us to Christ. We need a miracle in our heart. We need a heart transplant before we can even please God by choosing to serve Him.
Correct. That's absolutely right. Dr. Bonson, I mentioned earlier, he had a series, and I don't know if this is in the materials that the Bonson Project is working to bring to the web as free resources, but he had a series on Pentecost that was very helpful, I think, in this regard, to work out some of the caricatures of a Reformed reaction to the charismatic movement. And pointing out, as others have, as we have here on the program, in seeking to be biblical and not experiential in an autonomous way, our experience is not self-interpreting. Our experience must be interpreted by the Scriptures. The Scriptures are the final authority. Scriptures are supernatural. The coming to faith in Christ is a supernatural work of the Holy Spirit. The maintenance of our Christian walk is a supernatural activity of the Holy Spirit. It is supernatural from beginning to end. Is it chaotic? No. And that may be one of the rubs that we have with the Pentecostal or charismatic tradition. We are not chaotic. God is a God of order, as the Apostle Paul has told the Corinthian church and us.
What I was about to say also is that one of the ways this is manifest as far as perhaps even an unconscious paranoia of Reformed folk to appear to be charismatic or to be misunderstood is our downplay of the role and reality of the demonic realm. Sometimes I can only guess, but sometimes I think that Reformed people so want to emphasize the truth, and keep in mind, I am saying this is a vital biblical truth, but the truth of total depravity, that man is basically so evil he really doesn't need a devil to force him to sin. Flip Wilson was totally heretical when he said the devil made me do it, when he was doing his Geraldine imitation. I don't know if I'm dating myself too much, because most of the listeners we have probably don't even know what I'm talking about.
I'm old enough, Chris, to know exactly who you're talking about.
But at the same time, I think that we do undermine the reality of the fact that there is a demonic realm among us. Am I missing something here? Or am I overstating something? And perhaps Dr. Tipton, you could respond first.
No, I think that we definitely need to maintain that the antithesis is not only an antithesis between believers and unbelievers, but that when the gospel, Bonson makes this point well, that the gospel in its first iteration in Genesis 3:15, there is an antithesis between the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent, so that the champion seed that is set in antithetical relation to the coming Christ is the serpent himself. Revelation 12:9 through 10 speaks of that serpent, that ancient serpent, as Satan, the devil. And so when we are reasoning with unbelievers, we have to recognize that we're not wrestling exclusively against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers who are fundamentally demonic and of the of an order that cannot be seen directly. And so I think it's very important for us to remember that, and that helps us. And this is something Bonson hints at, but it's really developed more by people like Gerhardus Voss and Meredith Klein, it helps us recognize that underlying this epistemological antithesis is an antithetical philosophy of history between the Christian and the non-Christian. And that philosophy of history includes not only those who can be seen, who are antithetical to Christ and his gospel, but to the demonic host led, as it were, by Satan, who cannot be seen. And it is against both that we are wrestling. And what that really helps us remember is the great need, then, that we have for Christ, who is the overcomer in whom the church overcomes. And we do so by depending upon him, relying on his Spirit, and proclaiming and holding steadfastly to his inerrant and infallible word.
I'm so glad you quoted or cited Meredith Klein, because I have to say that Meredith Klein and Lorraine Bettner are my two favorite female theologians. There are listeners in our audience rolling their eyes saying, how many times are you going to tell that joke, Chris? But... just for your information, folks, they were not females. I just wanted to make that clear. We are going to our final break right now. It's going to be a lot more brief than the last two. But we hope you don't go away, because we've got some more to talk about with our guests in tribute to the late Dr. Greg Bahnsen. So don't go away. We'll be right back.
Chris Arnes and host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, announcing a new website with an exciting offer from World Magazine, my trusted source for news from a Christian perspective. Try World Now at no charge for 90 days by going to getworldnow.com. That's getworldnow.com. I rely on World because I trust the reporting. I gain insight from the analysis, and World provides clarity to the news stories that really matter. I believe you'll also find World to be an invaluable resource to better understand critical topics with a depth that's simply not found in other media outlets. Armed with this coverage, World can help you to be a voice of wisdom in your family and your community. This trial includes bi-weekly issues of World Magazine, on-scene reporting from World Radio, and the fully shareable content of World Digital. There's no obligation and no credit card required. Visit GetWorldNow.com today. Also check out World News Group's podcast, The World and Everything in It, at WNG.org/podcast. That's W for World, N for News, G for Group, .org/podcast.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries and the Dividing Line webcast here. Although God has brought me all over the globe for many years to teach, preach, and debate at numerous venues, some of my very fondest memories are from those precious times of fellowship with Pastor Rich Jensen and the brethren at Hope Reformed Baptist Church, now located at their new beautiful facilities in Coram, Long Island, New York. I've had the privilege of opening God's Word from their pulpit on many occasions, have led youth retreats for them, and have always been thrilled to see their members filling many seats at my New York debates. I do not hesitate to highly recommend Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, to anyone who wants to be accurately taught, discipled, and edified by the Holy Scriptures, and to be surrounded by truly loving and caring brothers and sisters in Christ. I also want to congratulate Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram for the recent appointment of Pastor Rich Jensen's co-elder, Pastor Christopher McDowell. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to HopeReformedLI.net. That's HopeReformedLI.net, or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, that you heard about them from James White on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm author Gary DeMar, president of American Vision.
and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Dan Lebenick of West Hills Baptist Church in Huntington Station, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Justin Peters of Justin Peters Ministries, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Reverend Buzz Taylor, author of God's Lawson, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Dr. William Webster, pastor of Grace Bible Church in Battleground, Washington, founder of the ministry Christian Resources. The NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Ryan Galan of Central Islip Community Church in Central Islip, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Brandon Smith of Trinity Reformed Baptist Church in Jackson, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB and tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Was your business shut down during the COVID-19 pandemic, depriving you of earning any money, causing you to default on your rent as you try to survive without income? Maybe you've had to close your doors for good. The good news, you thought, was that you purchased business interruption insurance as a part of your business liability policy with a major insurance company who told you they are a good neighbor or that you would be in good hands. You filed a claim only to be told that it was denied due to the pandemic exclusion clause. The pandemic exclusion? Since 2006, most insurance companies added this clause to enable them to deny your income loss claims in the event of a worldwide pandemic. Do not give up. No matter what state you live in, call Buttafuoco & Associates now at 1-800-669-4878. Buttafuoco & Associates is a part of a large multi-district litigation, and they are working with lead counsel to bring what they believe will be a successful lawsuit for these claims. It is the best way for you to proceed. There's absolutely no risk to you. You do not have to pay them out of pocket, and there is no fee unless you recover on your claim. You need to call 1-800-669-4878 right now. Trust the law firm where the attorneys at one of the largest business firms on Long Island, New York, are sending their own clients for representation during this lawsuit. Buttafuoco & Associates, here to help business owners rebuild their lives in the wake of the pandemic. Call 1-800-669-4878.
Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasser wishing you all the richest blessings of our sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
We are excited to announce another new member of the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio advertising family, Banu Gotti, owner of three New York pharmacies, Lee's Drugs of Floral Park, Long Beach Chemists, and Prescription Center of Long Island in Hempstead. Banu Gotti earned a doctorate in pharmacy degree and is very knowledgeable on the current coronavirus pandemic. Please contact Dr. Gotti so he and his expert staff can give you proper guidance amid all the contradictory confusion we are all hearing in the media. To find the pharmacy nearest you, call 516-354-2000. That's 516-354-2000. Or order online at leesdrugsrx.com. That's L-E-E-S, drugsrx.com. Don't forget to ask about their discount generic drug program.
Welcome back. This is Chris Arnzen. And I wanted to mention to Arnie of Perry County, Pennsylvania, by virtue of the fact that you sent in a question that we read on the air, an excellent question, I might add, you have won a free copy of Against All Opposition, Defending the Christian Worldview by Greg L. Bonson. This is a new publication featuring the transcribed lectures of Dr. Bonson that were only previously available in an audio form, and The American Vision, where our friend Gary DeMar is president, has compiled these in written form with American Vision, and it's Against All Opposition, Defending the Christian Worldview by Greg L. Bonson. And you can find out more about that at AmericanVision.org, AmericanVision.org. And please give us your full mailing address there in Perry County, Pennsylvania, so that CVBBS.com, Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service, can ship that out to you at no cost to you or to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Well, basically, right now, I want each of you, before I take any other listener question, I want each of you to have a couple of minutes to summarize what you most want etched in the hearts and minds of our listeners when it comes to the legacy and teaching of Dr. Greg L. Bonson and defending the word biblically. Let's start with Dr. Jeffrey C. Waddington.
Well, whenever we look to any of God's teachers that he's given to his church, the thing that we're looking at is whether someone is biblical. And I have to say, there are differences that I have with Dr. Bonson. He was very much a key figure in the theonomic movement, and I'm not a theonomist. Lane can share with you about his background in that regard. Never been one, but I still greatly appreciate Dr. Bonson's apologetic and philosophical acumen, and always showing the biblical antithesis, and showing and making that clear. So at the end of the day, the thing I want people to take away is Dr. Bahnsen was seeking to be biblical in his apologetic, not merely philosophical or historical or anything like that, but seeking to bring the Word of God bear upon any issue in culture.
Well, Dr. Tipton?
I found Bahnsen to be of great help in matters of apologetics and philosophy. I would say to the listeners that Van Til's Apologetic, Readings and Analysis, and his Always Ready volume, as well as the newer Presuppositional Apologetics, that's some of the finest exposition of Van Til's thought as applied to apologetics and the defense of the faith that you're going to find. He did a wonderful job. I'll tell you the limitation of Bahnsen. I want to situate this in the context of deep appreciation for him, is that he, due to his commitments to postmillennialism and theonomy, he never really got his mind around the biblical theology of Gerhardus Voss. And that was a fundamental oversight. It's what moved him in the direction, I think, of theonomy and postmillennialism, is he didn't understand the covenant theology and thoroughgoing amillennialism of Gerhardus Voss. And Van Til, Bahnsen doesn't develop this as much as he could by any stretch. Van Til's favorite theologian, favorite professor, was Gerhardus Voss. And it's in the work of Voss, especially his biblical theology and his Pauline eschatology, it's there that you find the philosophy of history that Van Til was promoting, which doesn't accord with the philosophy of history and the theonomic ethic that Dr. Bahnsen was promoting. So I'd just warn our listeners that that's not the place to follow Bahnsen in ethics and eschatology. But to round out on the positive side, I think as far as it goes in the 20th century, Bahnsen stands out head and shoulders above the other Van Tilians in expounding and applying Van Til's apologetic to other apologetical methods and to the history of Western philosophy. He was really unparalleled, and I have, as much as I have reservations and deep concerns about his theonomy and Christian ethics, I have to give him just the highest praise as an apologist and philosopher and someone seeking to apply Van Til and a reformed understanding of the scriptures to unbelief. Had he lived longer and, Lord willing, been exposed more to Voss, Ritter-Voss, Gaffin, and Klein, I think that would have only enriched him. And, Lord willing, he would have moved away from that theonomy and that postmillennialism into a fuller embrace of Van Til himself. But even though that didn't happen, we don't want to marginalize the wonderful contributions he's made in apologetics and philosophy that are enduring and helping us even today, even though he's been gone since 1995.
And I do want to add that although I am not a theonomist, I have many very close friends who are and have interviewed many theonomists and Christian Reconstructionists on this program. So I don't want anyone to get the idea that that we're bashing theonomists or anything like that. But people can feel free. I'm sorry?
Yes, absolutely. No personal bashing. Just a good, solid warning.
Okay. And, I'm going to save another question that I was just about to ask, a listener question, for tomorrow because we've run out of time. But I know that you are both with the ReformedForum.org, and I want to make sure that the Bahnsen Project is repeated again. That is BahnsenProject.com, 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 Project.com. And I hope that many of you will take advantage of that resource and support it financially. I want you all to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.